This is Marianne Arrington. Today is June 30th, 1999. I am in Barnes & Noble with Mylynn Vong, and we're going to be talking a little bit about how Mylynn immigrated to the United States. Okay, you say you're from Cambodia. What year did you immigrate?
Well, when I arrived in the United States, in Bowling Green, actually, in 79, in August,
79.
20
years?
Yeah.
Did you leave Cambodia in 79, or did you
We leave Cambodia in 79 in June. We arrived in Thailand 79 in August, and then we left Thailand August to United States.
So you weren't there for very long?
For 2 months. And when we arrived here in the United States, we became just like refugees.
Refugees?
Yeah.
Was it a refugee camp where you stayed in Thailand?
Yeah, we stayed in Thailand refugee camp for 2 months, like I said, and then we come to the United States.
How old were you, or what is your birthday?
My birthday is March 5th, 1958.
And so, let's see, you were
21.
Were you married?
Yes. We married before we leave Cambodia. Actually, I got pregnant. 8 months pregnant. Well, almost 8 months pregnant. And then he born in Thailand for 2 months. He born in June, and we come to the United States.
Your first baby was born in a refugee camp.
Yeah. Well, he born in June the 13th, 79, and we left the camp to auto camp, which is come close to American Embassy, for 2 months, and then we leave Thailand, came to the United States.
So how did you get out of Cambodia? What was the political situation there?
Well, before 79, the Khmer Rouge took over. They control it like the communists took over. It's not a free country. It's just they control every movement you do, but they keep an eye on you. And then 79, Vietnam took over.
Who did?
Vietnam.
Vietnam took over.
Yeah. And then we got a chance to move out of that. Well, they didn't give us a choice. We just sneak it out.
So when you say that they were watching your every move, give me an example of what?
Example, like if you do something, you have to make sure you do the right thing. If like you're sick or something, they want to exam you, make sure you're sick, you stay home. We are working like 30 days a month with no day rest. Sometimes people, they just want to rest, stay home or something. But they come to check and find out, make sure you are sick. You just cannot take a day off, stay home.
Where were your parents at that time?
Well, my parents are also in Cambodia at that time. We all live together.
So, did they leave Cambodia?
No, actually, they not left Cambodia until 85.
And so, in 79, and your husband?
Me and my husband, which is pregnant, over 7 months pregnant, we all decided to cross the border.
Without your parents?
Yeah. What it is, we ask my parents what they think if we gonna go across the border, come to Thailand, that's the only way that we can have a chance to go somewhere else. We don't want to get stuck up there, which is right now in 79, while Vietnam takes over. And Khmer Rouge, they kind of scare Vietnam because they got more equipment like, you know, gun and all that stuff, soldier. And my parents think it's a bad idea to come across the border while I'm pregnant. So we're thinking that's the only chance we do. if you wait another month or another year, probably that country not going to be, yeah, going to be worse and worse. So they cannot stop us either. So we decided to leave.
So I assume you left in secret?
Yes, it is. We cannot tell nobody, even the neighbor.
No, we can't. If we do,
they stop us. Mm-hmm. They don't want us to run away from country. Of course, we even believe, they just close the door, just actually like people live there, and we tell them, when we come one state to another state, they ask where you going, and how long you gonna stay up there, are you coming back, mm-hmm. is your house and your stuff still there? Of course, you have to give all the information to them, and I believe they gonna go up there and check if, you know, we told them we go to visit my parents, my husband, father, parent, mm-hmm. where they live in another state, that they live close to, across the border to Thailand. Mm-hmm. So I told them that we probably stay about maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and we come back. But yeah, we didn't carry any much of.
You didn't take your things
with you? No, it's just a bag of clothes. My husband one bag, me one bag, like a backpack, that's mm-hmm. it. And we come down here and they said, well, it's okay, it looks like I'm not packing anything much. Mm-hmm. So the house still there, and all my stuff still there, and we just closed the door. Which is my mom lived like about 15 or 20 miles from my house. But
did your mom and dad know that you were trying to leave?
Yeah, she know. She come and take all the stuff that they need, but something also, big they don't want to take, so they know that I'm gonna run away. Yeah. If they know they can go and stop, they know people that leave country, only they come across the border to Thailand, mm-hmm. so they can stop.
So your mother went into your home mm-hmm. after you had gone?
Well,
and took some
leave. You know, like we discussed here, we kind of discussed each other before we leave about a week. And she think that it's not a good idea, but she cannot stop. She said she probably leave later on too, but she just cannot find a chance to come until 85. She might be thinking bad and bad and worse. So she had decided to leave too. But all my parents and relatives, they know, they kind of helped me to move everything out to later on. They bring a little bit of stuff to my mother-in-law. And we stayed like about a week with my mother-in-law, and we decided to come to Thailand.
So, and did you say that your husband's
parents
they came too?
Yeah, they come the same time that we did.
So, is there a river between Cambodia and Thailand?
They don't have any river, they just have jungle. We go through the jungle. We walk like 2 days and 2 nights in jungle.
Walking the whole time?
Yeah.
Pregnant?
Yeah.
Walking?
We walk in like, I believe about 35 or 40 people. That's
oh,
only
so
me.
So there was a lot of people who left at the same time?
Yeah.
Did you have a guide?
Well, yeah, we paid the money. What it is, well, you have to pay them some money or jewelry to have somebody guide you through the jungle, how to get to Thailand.
So had you made, you'd been saving for this? Was it very expensive?
Well, yeah. They almost gave everything for them to make us, you know, to show love the way how to get to Thailand. But we don't care as long we can get away from it.
About how much? Give me an idea of how much you paid.
Well, that time we paid, most of them we talk about, it's not much in United States mm-hmm. money, but our country it is a lot of money. You know, we give probably a couple thousand dollars each person to get out of there.
And would you say that that was really a lot compared to what you had?
Oh, yeah.
And so you gave this man your money, and he guided you through the forest, through the jungle.
Jungle. Mm-hmm.
For
through the to Thailand.
To Thailand.
We cannot just go up there because what it is, I think they put a lot of what they call a bomb. Besides some of the stuff, we kind of not trust because of Khmer Rouge, they kind of control and have a part of the jungle of Thailand between Thailand border and Cambodian border. So we just don't know what we're going to step on and mine. So we just go ahead and let them. Well, what it is, sometimes they kind of go through jungle by yourself, going to be lost, you know, get lost in the jungle and kind of scare stuff if we go in the wrong way.
Right.
Khmer Rouge might get it, so.
Right. And so, and you said there were bombs planted in the jungle?
Bomb and a mine.
Mines?
Yeah. But we lucky we never did step on mine or bomb up, you know, around there. It just hurt that and some of them get killed too. But we lucky.
Nobody from your group?
No. We about 35 or 40 people. And only one group that I got, the one I'm pregnant, the rest of them are they single. Most of them are single.
You are a very brave woman. And we, strong too, to walk that far.
Yeah.
Pregnant.
Yeah.
Did you have plenty of supplies with
we
you?
We did pack, like, you know, most of them are water and some dry food, like can and something, and put in a bag. Yeah, I gotta know.
Did the guide tell you how long you were going to be in
the jungle? They tell us like maybe 24 hours or 3 days, 3 nights, but it could take us 2 days, 2 nights.
Did you tell me more about the jungle? I mean, what kind of animal? I mean, did you have any
don't see
with?
Any, no animal or anything. It's just quiet. You see only the bird. That's
birds.
It. Yeah. It's just at night time, it's just so quiet. You don't see anything.
Did you rest at all?
Yeah, we walk like, maybe 10 miles or something like that and see everybody like if they're tired, they sit down and the whole group wait for each other.
Everybody stuck together. When you got to Thailand, was it at the end of the jungle?
Yeah. When we get to Thailand border, which is they got a, it's just like a small farm go across the border, and then they got a car and motorcycle, bike, and all that stuff. So we got on that.
And so you reached the end of the jungle, you could see the end of the jungle. You came out from the jungle?
Yeah, we got a track, like people walk just one track up there, and on the other side we cannot step it, and then we go like 2-3 miles before you see the road, like car and motorcycle and the Thai people, they got vehicle.
So was there a border patrol in Thailand?
They got a patrol up there too. Yeah.
And so were you picked up by somebody in Thailand, or did you just know how to get to the refugee camp?
Okay, when we across the border to Thailand, they got some people, they patrol our Thai people. They take over. They know right then that we all escaped from Thai, from Cambodia. Yeah. And then they put us to the camp, which they call like international, or they call Red Cross International. They come pick us up with the bus, put us in the camp.
Were you scared?
Yeah, we're pretty much scared, but at that time it seemed like you just give up everything. It look at each other and then they said, well, don't scare, we come down here to, you know, to help you, so. Finally, we get through it.
So they took you to this camp. What was the camp like?
Well, no, the camp is just like a shelter. You don't have any room. It's just flat down, and everybody can get a place to rest.
Like in tents?
Well, no, it's just more likely like a a building like a shelter. No, people need shelter and go up there. It more probably like a little small big house or a house, but it's just flat to the ground, and you can find some place to stay, and they, you know, divide what room, how big you need, something like that.
Beds?
No, no bed. It's just they build up to the ground about a couple foot from the ground, and it's just a floor.
And so you were with a whole bunch of other people? Strangers.
Yeah, when, yeah. When we come down there, about 40, I said 35, 40 people, and then when we come to the camp, we just got a lot of people. Mm-hmm. We don't know them, and they, well, some of them we know that they used to live up there before, and mm-hmm. they're still there. I mean, some of them moved. They came to Thailand like 75, 76, mm-hmm. before 4 or 5 years they get stuck up there. It's just, well,
what
one thing.
What do you mean by stuck?
Well, they cannot move to other country like we did, like immigration. We apply to immigration, come to United States or to Canada, to other country.
And so they didn't apply?
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I don't know, is if they apply or they don't want to come, or they applied and they never did to come, or I don't know what the problem is.
And so how many people do you think were there?
Oh, thousand people.
Thousands of
yeah.
people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge refugee
yeah.
camp.
Oh yeah.
And you had your baby.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, the night that I have the baby, it's I had the baby in hospital, and
they had a hospital set up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a small small town. They got a hospital up there. We had the baby in the hospital. We just doing fine, and the next day they move us to another camp. And which is that camp a little closer to immigration or what they call embassy.
Mm-hmm.
So we come that close and then we wait.
Excuse me, how far away was the new camp?
Oh, really far. We sit in the bus like almost one day long before they take us close to the immigration or embassy.
Embassy.
Yeah.
Okay, and this was the day after your baby was born?
Just one night. He born like maybe 10 o'clock.
At night,
yeah.
And the next morning you left on a bus?
Yeah, on a bus, come to another camp. And then we stayed up that camp for 2 months.
So had you planned that bus trip? I mean, did you know ahead of time that you were going to be going?
No, we don't. It's just when the day come, what it is, they come and pick up your name. Before we came to the camp, we had to write a name, what my name and husband and wife, family, we put together in there. And they call my husband, and then we could come out from there. Like I said, we did not apply at that time, but we just put our name and they pick it up and then we come. And we have no idea where we going. They did not tell either. They did not tell that, oh, you are going to United States or you are going to go to other country. We just wait until the time comes where they're going to put us at. But when we come, we not see any jungle, only thing you see a big city. So that means, you know, it's going to be better than...
I guess I don't quite understand. You got on a plane. And they
okay.
didn't tell you where you... I mean,
oh, you're talking about...
Let's back up a little bit. When you took the bus ride, the day after your baby was born,
right.
you took a bus ride to a different refugee camp.
Right.
And you stayed there for 2 months.
2 months.
And during that time, you applied?
Well, that time, we did apply. When they moved up from one camp to another camp, we did not apply to go anywhere or they did not tell us that they're going to take us to another camp. No.
They just picked you up and took you up.
Yeah.
With your newborn baby.
Right. Put another camp, and then they asked us where we want to go after 2 months and visit.
Well, excuse me, the new camp that you went to, that was also in Thailand?
Yeah. But that kind of close to American embassy and all the immigration, they take over from that.
It was closer to a bigger city.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when you say that you saw that it was a big city, what do you mean?
Well, that means like we're not going to go back to in the jungle, you know?
Yeah.
We see that, oh, that's not the way we come from.
Right.
We thought that they're going to take us back there. So some of them they did. They take back. But I don't know. They deny them, or they just want to. But they know. I know they don't want to go back, but they did take it back. The Thai people, Thai government, they deny people. Certain people had to stay. Certain people had to go back.
Back to Cambodia. Mm-hmm.
They drop it off on the border, so they had to go back. So.
What do you suppose happened to those people?
Well, sometimes they go back and. If they go back, they cannot go back where they came from. They have to go on a different place because if you go back, if I go back, like right now I live in Flint away, I go back to Flint away, the people live there, they know I'm trying to run away.
Right.
Now I come back, they're going to put in a jail or do something.
And so this whole day on the bus, you didn't know where you were going?
No, but we keep watching where we're going, but we go in a big city like I told you, I said, well, this seems to gonna be safe, you know, it's not gonna go back where the jungle we come from.
Okay.
And then when we get on airplane, well, we apply, they ask us where we want to go. They give us a lot of choice, like Japanese, Japanese, Canada, Australia, and
Australia was also
in French. Our country too, but they choose to come to the United States.
Oh, so you got to decide?
Yeah. We decide where we want to go.
Why did you choose the United States?
Well, what I heard is, see his uncle.
Your husband's uncle?
Yeah, my husband's uncle, he's used to be, he's teaching in French. Let me go back there, it's a long way. When the company take over, Tokso 175, that time he know that, he already know because his parents used to be living in China, the company took over real bad. And then he ran to France. So he flew to France, get stuck in France. He know that Cambodian, Khmer Rouge or company took over. He not gonna come back. He left 75. To stay up there, and then he studied, and now he's teaching. And then
in France.
Yeah, in France. And when we arrived to Thailand, we wrote a letter to him and called him and asked him. Now we apply, or the immigration asked us where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, the more freedom is maybe come to the United States. He don't like French either. So.
Oh, really?
No. So we applied to come to the United States.
And you got accepted?
Yeah.
What determines whether or not you get accepted? Do you have any idea?
Well, I don't know. They ask us that's all they ask now. How many people in the family, and do you want to come to the United States? We say yeah. And they take. Well, before they accept us, they have to do x-ray. And that's all the background family, how many people live there, and how long you've been come to United States, I mean, in Thailand, how you get there, just like you asked me. That's it.
And so did you have documentation for them? Did you have a birth certificate?
Well, we don't have none. They know too, because company talks over, we don't have any picture, we cannot carry.
Okay,
the picture or photo, we cannot have either. The company, they not allow you to carry any picture or the photo. So they know, the immigration know, that people from Cambodia don't have any identification or proof of birth certificate. No.
So in other words, the communists took
everything.
Your birth certificate.
Yeah. I mean everything beyond like a picture, family picture. They don't want to have either. They take them all. I got some picture that hide from them, hidden, so I got some left.
How did they take them? Did they take your pictures and your birth certificate?
Okay,
did
when
they come
took,
to your house?
Yeah, when they took over the clothes, they got three pay. You got three pay. They got one day, you got one day. You cannot have anything more than anybody. What it is like, you got more blanket or more pot and pan, you have to give it back to them. Or they come down here and find out you get in trouble.
And so you
have whatever you got more, yeah. You got more, you have to turn it in for them. And then they have your stuff. They look around. If some people they don't have, they give away to somebody else. So that means everybody the same, have the same stuff. You cannot have more than anybody.
And so they also asked you to turn in your birth certificate?
Yeah. They keep it. I know that why would they want it? Because they don't want you to come across the other country. They will not accept without identification. Yeah. So even passport, everything, they take them all. Nobody can have it. That doesn't matter. You go to work. Your door, you don't have to need to lock any door. They can have any time to come to check out what you have. See the big house, what we have, big house, they tear off to small house. So they build small, everybody got a small house, the same house. Yeah.
And so you had to give up your photographs too?
Yeah.
That you were able to set some aside somewhere?
Yeah. We have to head somewhere that they can.
So do you still have those?
Yeah, I got have.
They're precious.
Yeah, I got like one or two of them. And I got some more in Cambodian too. My grandfather got some. He got when I was a baby. He said he still have it. He said, if you want it, you have to come get your own. He wouldn't mail it to me. So I said, yeah, I plan to go this year.
I'll come get it.
Yeah.
And so, you left and you got on a plane and you came to the United States with your husband.
Yeah.
Hey, you said that your parents-in-law are in Canada. Is that
no,
where
my parents. All his family here in the United States. All my parents in Canada.
So, that's right. Your parents left in 85 and they went to Canada. Mm-hmm. And so, the people that left with you from Cambodia, did they all come to the United States?
We had no idea when they moved, put another camp. It's so many people, like I said, 1,000 people. They just find a place to stay and be lost from there. We don't know where they go. Only thing we could stick around with his parents, my husband's parents, and his family. We all stick around.
And so, but did you have other relatives that got put someplace else and you don't know where they are now?
No. It's all my relative, I know where it is. They didn't come with me at that time, only me and my husband's family.
Okay.
But,
so just four of you. Well, and your newborn baby.
Yeah.
So your husband, you, your baby, and your husband's parents?
No, he got his sister, brother. It's a lot.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
And where did you fly into when you arrived?
When we stopped, the first stop in Hong Kong, because we didn't go out from the airplane, and then the second stop in California. We stopped down there, I think it's 2 days. They let us, they got a big refugee assistant or something like that, up there, set up there. And most people up there, they've been there for 75 and 80, they've been there long. Than what I thought. They speak good English too. I went up there, I said, well, how long you been there? They said, oh, 75, 76, 78. So they've been there for a long time, and they set up a refugee assistance up there, and we go up there and they ask us who wants to stay up there. I said, well, we got a sponsor, which is Maori Deputy. They got paper sponsor on it, and I said, well, she sponsored us. And of course, what I heard in Kentucky seemed like just a small city, and I asked all information, people that stay in California, they said, just a small city, and they do farm and all that stuff. If you want to go up there, that's your choice. We choose to come to Kentucky.
You chose, so from yeah. California, you got to choose mm-hmm. what state you wanted yeah. to go to.
So when we came, we don't know any English. Anyway, I go, I had to pack the dictionary. Mm-hmm. So we went to school about 2 years, 1.5 years, 2 years, the most.
Where? What school?
We went to refugee. They got a program up there, and then we went to Rock House, clothing like a Western.
Oh sure, the Rock House,
yeah.
Western.
Okay. Uh-huh. We went up there, I went up there. Well, used to be go a day, and then when I got a job, I go at night.
And so it was to learn English? You
yeah,
went to school to
learn English.
You and your husband went together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He went about 6 months, and then he got a job. And then he got a job at Scotty. And then he go to take vacation at school for about 2 years to take his education for.
So, tell me, you mentioned somebody, your sponsor, Marty?
Marty Deputy.
Deputy. Mm-hmm. Marty?
Yeah.
Deputy.
Yeah, she's the one in refugee assistant on mm-hmm. what street is that? Down in downtown somewhere now. I haven't seen her for a while.
But she, how did she know about you?
Well, that's a good question. I believe what I understand is they allow like 100 people, refugee, come to the United States, and every state had to pick up how many family. Like Kentucky pick up 3 family, and California 5 families, something like that. New York 1 family, and she pick us to come over here, but she can give us choice that if we want to stay in other state, it's fine. When the airplane stop in California, that's a big assistant, refugee assistant up there. Mm-hmm. They ask us to want to stay there, it's fine. You still want to come to Kentucky, it's fine.
So, in other words, maybe New York only could accept 10 families a year.
Yeah, something like that.
And so, if there was a family that wanted to go, they had to wait their turn.
I believe
that's,
that. Yeah.
Maybe that's why they were there for so long in California waiting.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know either. But just guess.
So Marty Deputy, she
been sponsored a lot. It's not just the Cambodian, like Laos and mm-hmm. Vietnamese, and now she kind of sponsor a lot of family that on the TV. What is that?
Because of the
yeah.
crisis. Mm-hmm. And so she sponsored you. What do you mean by sponsor? What does she do?
Well, when we arrive here, which is, that's my son.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay.
Okay.
I got this book.
Okay.
Can you keep it
for me?
Yeah.
Okay. I come get. What a sponsor mean is, when you arrive here, most people, they don't speak any English. She tried to help you to find the place to stay, where you're gonna go, like you go to doctor or to school, something like that.
So she helps you get around for a while?
For a while, yeah.
And then slowly you learn English?
Learn English and then get a job.
You got a job.
And then on your own.
So did she pay for your housing?
No, actually we all own, we borrow the government money, and then when we get a job, we pay off each month.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so she basically just
helped
you,
you
do all of that.
Right.
She
because
didn't really pay for a
no.
lot.
No. When we get a job, we pay the monthly.
Mm-hmm. your mortgage payment or whatever. So, you're in contact with her still?
Yeah.
Sometimes?
Yeah, we stop by and see her sometimes, like New Year and Christmas stuff, we get together.
Do you like her?
Yeah.
So, you have three children all together?
Uh-huh. The older one born in Thailand.
Yes.
The second one born here, and called this one born.
After you first got here to Bowling Green, did you like it?
Well,
was it hard? I mean, it was really hard.
Yeah,
at first.
The first time seemed like we don't know anything about English.
Right.
That's a hard part, and just like a dog and cat.
Right.
You know, don't understand each other. Like I said, I'm going. I'm carrying my dictionary with me for a couple of months.
Yeah.
But after maybe about a year later, we get used to it. So, but my English, learn it a little bit at a time.
Yeah. Well, I noticed your son. Mm-hmm. I heard him say a little bit, and he has beautiful English.
Oh.
Just because he's been in the schools. And
yeah, he not speak any Cambodian language.
Oh, really? So at home you speak English?
Well, actually we speak both languages. Yeah, but if the kid, we speak to them, they understand, but they cannot talk back.
Mm-hmm.
They speak English back, so.
Do you and your husband still speak Cambodian together?
Yeah.
So that was the hardest part, was the language.
Yeah. So now I get used to it. It just, it's normal to me. I used to be homesick a lot.
Yeah, I bet. For your parents,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Now, did anything bad happen to your parents because you left?
No, not that I know of. It's just a lot of questions they ask. Mm-hmm. Where am I at, and are they going to come back, or is this how they give a certain time, if 3 months later or a year later and not coming back, they're going to take over.
They're going to take over?
My house.
Your house?
Yeah. Because they ask all kind of questions, and my mom said, well, I believe they decide to stay up there with his family, mm-hmm. or husband's family, and because they give certain time, like I said, I don't know how long,
mm-hmm.
3 months or a year, something like that, they take over. They're not gonna give it to my mother because since she already have a house and have a stuff.
She has one desk,
yeah.
And she has, right. So, you said your husband got a job, and then you got a job. Where did you work?
Oh, I worked for Fruit Loom.
Yeah.
For 17 years.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just get off about 3 years.
Great.
Yeah. I said I go to school at night. Day I work at Fruit the day time and put the kid a day key.
And so you were able to earn enough to pay your bills and start a business?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Do you feel like you've been happy here in Bowling Green? I mean, do you think about?
Yeah. I do.
Are you glad you came?
I do. I'm glad I came over here. And talking about big city, and most time they got, you know, they got a bad people, a lot of bad people. Of course, here in Bowling Green, we got two now. It seems like a lot of people than compared to 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, you see the same person when you walk in and out,
mm-hmm.
to store and stuff. But now you walk in and out, you see different people all the time, different car. And so it is changing a lot.
Do you ever wonder what would have happened if you had stayed?
Yeah, we did talk about that almost every 2-3 weeks. We talk one time, I mean, or maybe a month, or sometime if my mom called from Canada, or my aunt called from Washington, D.C. talk about, oh, you're going to go to Cambodia and so and so. That's what bring us up our memory that what it's going to be if we stay still in Cambodia, you know. But besides that, we are just happy over here.
That's a big thing to change your whole life.
Yeah.
You know, your whole nationality,
yeah,
and language.
Mm-hmm. I've become a citizen in, let's see, 86.
Right.
I had to I don't have to become a citizen, but
mm-hmm.
I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to live there for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. So your kids a whole different life than you have.
Yeah, well, they never go through what I've been go through.
Right.
And we're always telling them, you know, do this wrong, do this right, because all the kid over here is different from the kid what we lived before. Or maybe this society is different, but we try to teach them and remind them what I've been through. They said, well, I would like to see your country when I'm ready to go, I'll let you know. So they kind of scared when we talk something like that, but now with more security and, you know, more, you feel comfortable because it's more freedom than it used to be. A lot of people go in and out too, from Cambodia to the United States or to France. They can do that. It's not used to be like that,
mm-hmm.
but that's why I want to go back and see
mm-hmm.
what happened.
And so did you say you're going back next month?
No, probably September or October.
September, in the fall?
Yeah. So that way, right now it's hot up there.
Mm-hmm.
It will wait till the fall, be better up there.
And it's your first time back?
Yeah.
20 years? Is your husband going with you?
Well, he don't think he want to go because he got the kid in school.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably stay, you know what I mean? If I get stuck there again, that's my luck. I told him, I said, if I get stuck again, don't worry about it. It's just, that's my luck. I probably get stuck another 10, 20 more years. There's no way I can do anything, you know? And he said, as long as don't pass year 2000, that they come back in year 2000, you'll be coming back.
Right.
I said, well, I'll try. Yeah.
But there's free travel, right?
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be a problem
no,
at all.
No, it shouldn't be. Because my mother went up there last year. She lived in Canada. She went up there and she said, it's okay, but it's kind of poor country.
Yeah.
You know, it's different because it used to be not like that, but when the company took over and everything destroyed and they make a small stuff for everybody, the same stuff, so it's still the same way, but not compared before 75, it's different.
So it's a really poor area.
Yeah.
So do you feel like your kids have a lot more opportunities here than they would have had there?
Oh yeah, sure.
A lot more.
Mm, sure.
Probably a lot more,
because
I'm thinking about education,
education,
and jobs.
Education now, they kind of, over the years, they learn more language than used to be too. They learn French, English.
Your children?
No, I'm talking
Cambodia?
About in Cambodia.
Okay.
Yeah. They got more, they kind of building up, but it's not really fast. It kind of coming up slow.
But their education is improving.
Yeah, improving.
But do you feel like, tell me about your hopes for your children.
Here?
Yes.
Well, I hope they grow up and, you know, they education what they want to be. They can get it and I have them to support. That's what I need.
Let me ask you about one other area, and that is religion. Were you practicing any religion while you lived in Cambodia?
No, not that time. It's just, I'm young.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not paying attention much about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, In 75, I'm like 18, 17. And we got, well, at that time we got a lot of, like high school, and mm-hmm. you just worry about school stuff. You don't worry about religion and anything.
Were your parents religious?
Yeah. They were.
Excuse me?
They Buddha relations.
Buddhist. I was going to ask you, how long were you married? How old were you when you got married?
I got married about 18 or 19.
And so you've been married for about 3 years with your husband when you left?
Yeah.
And was he religious at all?
No, not he really. Just like me, isn't really.
Not really concerned about it, right?
No.
And so when you came to the United States, what... Are you religious now?
Well, I am not really take one word. I can't choose which one I go, but I go both ways. Baptist Church or Buddha, which is they got one Buddha in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
We go down there once in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I'm not saying that since we over here choose just one. And leave one, no.
Okay.
I'll take both, so
okay.
I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but to me,
uh-huh.
I try to keep that way so the kids don't forget our religion.
Right. And so your children are exposed to Buddhism, and they're also exposed to some
well,
Christianity?
Yeah.
A little bit?
A little bit, both, yeah.
That's good.
So.
That's really good. So your oldest child is 20. And then this one I saw, he looked like he was about 10.
Nine. Yeah, the other one, 18.
18, it was your daughter, and she's the dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And a nice family.
Thank you.
Nice family.
And she's gonna go to college, to UK.
Is she?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about your son, your oldest son?
Well, he take a computer class here in Bowling Green.
At Western?
Yeah, but he said he don't like it. So I don't know what else he's going to be. So the kid, it just I cannot push them. I wish them take one and then they like it and finish it up.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's just they choice.
It's hard to decide.
That's right.
It's very hard. So you have a new business, is that right?
Well, we're building an apartment. And housing. I'm a general contract and I sell it and build it and rent it.
Oh, you rent? You do rent it? Is it in one area, like a big complex, or is it all over town?
No, all over the town.
So you buy different places and
build it? Buy a lot and build it.
Oh, you buy empty lots and
yeah.
build
mm-hmm.
and then you rent?
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that?
About 3 years.
And is it a business with your husband?
Yeah.
Is it going pretty well?
It's going pretty good.
Okay. It's really hard to get a new business going.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it takes some time before it starts to get profitable.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's going because this past couple of years, the interest is cheaper, and then everybody want to build stuff and want to buy stuff.
Oh, great. Sounds good.
Yeah, I don't know how long it lasts. And, if the interest going back up, it's going to be slow down for
yeah.
the bill, but right now we're pretty good.
That's really good. And you're very busy.
Yeah. Well, I try to not be busy real much, but I believe 2-3 more weeks should be done my project up there.
With building?
Yeah.
Building project?
Mm-hmm. When it's done, then I'm going to be take it easy. Like I said, I'm planning to go to Cambodia.
Relax.
Yeah, relax for a month and see what how it go.
Great. So is your husband still working?
Yeah, he's still working for Scotty.
For Scotty. That's great. Anything else you'd like to add before we close up?
No.
Okay.